If you want to turn in your Bibles, we're going to find our place back in the book of Daniel. And some of you may have thought I forgot about that series, but I did not. And been thinking about it, but with Christmas and just different things going on there around Christmas, I felt like the Lord wanted us to have some of those messages. But we're going to try to get back to Daniel tonight in Daniel chapter 5. Looking forward to continuing to preach through this book and this year. I'm not sure what month we'll finish or what year we'll finish, but I'm going to do my best just to keep going through as the Lord leads. I believe the Lord's got many things to teach us as we study this great book and the Word of God. Again, just hope everybody's day has started off right. Their year has started off right, and looking forward to the great things the Lord's going to be doing in the days ahead. I was thankful that we, again, as I mentioned, we got to start off this morning, this year, with being in church and worshiping the Lord together. What a great way to start off the year, amen. And may the Lord just help us to be in a spirit of worship all the time, not just in the local church, but at all times. You know, something I appreciate, people that like to just praise the Lord even outside of church. Whether that just be you praising the Lord through a song you're listening to or a song you're singing or just a word of testimony and you're just thanking God. Listen, that is worship, folks, and how thankful I am for that. But I was thanking the Lord for, of course, being able to worship this morning, start the year off worshiping, and then I got home. And another thing I got to start the year off with, and boy, this was really nice. It's one of my favorite things to look forward to as far as eating. And, you know, we were trying to go lighter, you know, all the turkey and all the ham. And, man, if I have to eat another piece of turkey for a while, I don't know what I'm going to do. And now, if y'all invite me over tomorrow and you're having turkey, I will eat it, I promise you. Wherever I go, I'm going to eat what you put before me and be thankful. But you know what I mean. So I want to do something a little different. So my dear wife, as loving as she is and as kind as she is, she made something a little lighter, one of my favorite dishes, and that is salmon stew. Anybody else here like salmon stew like me? Nobody? Oh, my. Brother James only got one. Listen, honey, let's make a big old army pot, all right? And we'll invite the whole church over. Anybody have an oyster stew? Anybody like here? Okay, we've got a few more on that one. It's similar. Just use evaporated milk there, and boy, just get you some good cans what am I talking about here? What soup? Salmon stew. Yeah, get you some cans of double Q salmon stew, and cut you up some potatoes and onions, and man, I tell you what, you go to town on that, And then I didn't get a Baptist nap today, unfortunately. I didn't get a Baptist nap. I didn't get totally immersed, you know, like I like to. But I did get sprinkled. I took me a Methodist nap today and just had a light one. But either way, it was a good afternoon. And I'm looking forward to the good week ahead as we're getting things. And like I mentioned to you this morning, please be in prayer this week as we get things lined up for Vision Night. And ask the Lord's blessings and power to be there. And just trust in the Lord to bless that. Well, you have your place there in Daniel chapter 5. We'll see how far. I'm not sure how far we'll get tonight. My intentions are not to be long tonight, but do want to get started in this chapter. We see there in Daniel chapter 5, the Word of God says in verse 1, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. And Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Let's pray together. Father, we do come before you with much thanksgiving. Your faithfulness, as we sang just a minute ago, Lord, it is truly a blessing to every person here, Lord, that You are faithful to Your children. And Lord, I do pray that You would help us to do the same, to be faithful unto You, Lord, and faithful to each other, and faithful to our church, and faithful to our community, and just to be faithful, dependent, and Lord, to be serving You all the time. And now, Lord, we just pray that You would guide us now in the Word of God. Lord, there's some things here that reading about, it seems like we're perhaps, at least I think most of us, I believe, are a long ways from this type of activity. But Lord, the more I study, the more I realize how close we are to making any kind of wrong decision that would lead us in a wrong path. Lord, I do pray You just give us great soberness now as we look to Your Word and understanding. And Lord, thank You again for this opportunity. Would You teach through me tonight? And I pray this for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of tonight's message is simply this, A Shindig Gone South. Because that's exactly what happened. This is a big feast party that is getting ready, that's taking place. And just to bring you up to date to where we are in our timeline of studying through the book of Daniel, it's been nearly 70 years since Daniel was taken into captivity. So now Daniel, an elderly man, has been serving Nebuchadnezzar all those years. And in captivity, been used greatly of God. And you got to remember, too, there's been at least 25 years since the end of our last chapter, there in chapter 4. And so we have some time that has passed here going into chapter 5. And you'll remember, too, that Nebuchadnezzar, by this time, he's off the scene. He's dead. And whether or not he's with the Lord, I don't know. I tend to believe that he showed a repentant heart toward the Lord. And we'll find out one day when we get to eternity. But the fact of the matter is, he's off the scene. And after ruling there in Babylon for over 40 years, he's gone. And so after Neb's death, I call him Neb's for abbreviating, there would be four more successors over the span of time, a little over 20 years after Nebuchadnezzar's death. There would be a little over 20 years of other rulers that would come in. The longest ruling would be Nabonidus. And he was the father of Belshazzar. And we'll see more about that here in a minute. But Nabonidus, he was taken captive by the Persian army during his ruling. And so, therefore, because of that, Belshazzar was left to take his place. And that's the scene we have. This man, Belshazzar, who has been left in charge, is simply going to be a colossal failure in his ruling and his leadership. But one of the things we need to remember too as we look at this feast, this shindig gone south, as you'll remember, we understand because of the historical facts that revolve around this and that we'll see later on in this chapter, is that at this very time, Cyrus is leading the Persian army and he is on the verge of taking over this city. And it's you look around this fortified city, and that's who you would find the Persian army seeking very closely to taking them. And this was so interesting about this feast. There seems to be no indication that there was any care upon this man Belshazzar's heart about the possibilities of being judged, number one, by God, or taken captive by the Persian army. And we're going to look at some characteristics here we see in this fact. But it was a great feast. You know, there's no doubt in my heart and mind that there were feasts just like this taking place all over this country and really all over the world just last night. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, celebrating the new year, staying up, playing games, shooting fireworks, and just having fellowship. There's nothing wrong with that. But for the majority of the world, it just consisted of wickedness, pleasure, self-gratification, and the area of drinking. and alcohol and partying and sexual immorality, and the list goes on to what was consisted of and what was celebrated last night by the unbelieving world. And very similar to some of the things that we see here in this picture. And boy, I tell you, there was some of that that even took place that you've heard by now, probably if you heard the news, that there was a party that truly did go south in a very, you know, of course, very sad and heartbreaking way, and that was in Turkey. You don't wish evil upon anybody, and you definitely don't laugh at their calamities. But the fact of the matter is, it happened there in Turkey. A nightclub, Islamists came in, and it was after midnight. They were partying, thinking that life was just grand, pleasure seeking. Everything was great, drunkenness, immorality. And then man comes in with a machine gun and just starts laying people down. And people just dying there, right there on the scene. And it's happened. And that was a party interrupted. That was some people that were oblivious. They weren't in tune with reality and did not think that even never that sort of judgment or that sort of act would be upon them. And, of course, they were wrong. And, you know, believe it or not, and these are sad stories. These are not even things I'm making fun of or laughing at. But boy, you've heard a bunch of these recently. Wasn't over just in the West Coast. I believe it was Northern California or Washington. I cannot remember the specific state, but it was another nightclub. It was a big party. And this high-tech party that was going on, basically the floors fell in, and basically it crumbled. Right over, and dozens of people lost their lives right there in this big party that they were having. And the list goes on. We've heard of, boy, it just was heartbreaking. Again, the type of people were people that truly needed Jesus Christ and needed the gospel. But even over in Paris, just a couple years ago, there was a death metal concert going on, and they were just raging and partying and going full throttle. These headbangers, they were just mosh pits and just going crazy in these places. And they thought they were just living it up. And so these guys come in, these Islamists come in there in Paris, and man, they come in with these AK-47s. And man, they just start laying people down. And folks, these people in this club, a lot of them thought it was a part of the show. People were laughing and thought it was an act that was part of the show. And then when they saw the musicians fleeing for their lives, people started realizing, but boy, there are just tons of people that were just, there's just a mass murder. Basically, dozens of people died right there on the scene, dozens more injured. You'll remember just here recently, and these are all sad stories, they break your heart, but this homosexual nightclub, listen, I don't wish death upon anybody. But it was a situation where it was this homosexual nightclub in Orlando, Florida. They were partying. Man, it was late into the night, drunkenness, immorality going on. They're living the high life, thinking it's all about pleasure. That's what life is around. And again, an Islamist comes in and just starts laying them down and just starts killing them right there like they're just animals. And party's gone wrong, and it's sad. But you know, a lot of what you think about those scenarios, those people that were involved in that I guarantee you, that was the last thing on those people's mind going in to those nightclubs. That tonight could be the night that my life ends. And I don't believe Belshazzar, I don't believe for a minute he was thinking that the very fact that this night could be his last night. But it most certainly would be. And as we see here, I want us to see, number one, his debauchery, or his decadence here. He was a person that was simply infatuated with drunkenness and with immorality. We see that, number one, this lack of discipline. It says here, right off the bat, that he had a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and right there it says, and drank wine before 1,000. Well, in the historical context, even as a lost person, even in this Eastern culture, it was uncommon for the leaders to drink wine, especially with the lords, with the governors. It was uncommon. It was not protocol. It was not accepted. But yet we see right off that this man was someone that was lacking discipline. We know even in the Bible, it talks about over there in Proverbs chapter 31 that he, let me just go back and read it to you. It says chapter 31, verses 4 and 5, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for the princes strong drink." Why? "Lest they drink and forget the law." Okay? "Unless they drink and forget the law," and it says, "and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted." To pervert the judgment, the discernment that a leader needs to have. And that is what we see here, a lack of discipline. But not only a lack of discipline in his debauchery, this there before this great feast, but we see a lack of discernment. Now, it goes on to say that with these lords, he had women there as well, his wives and his concubines. And that may not sound, well, what's the big deal there? Well, that was another thing that was not protocol. Back in this culture, it was not common for these feasts specifically for men and women to mix. And you would think even in the pagan religion like that, yes, in this context it would be. But he didn't care about that. He brought them all in because what it was going to be, quite frankly, it was going to just be a huge drunken orgy is what this was going to be. That's exactly what it is. And there's no reason to candy coat this. That's exactly what Belshazzar was doing. There was a mixing with the opposite sex for a feast. And we know that in most Near Eastern ancient cultures, that was not accepted. There was a lack of discernment in this man's life. And you know, it goes to show us, church, let's not think that we are above following in to the same acts as this man right here. You say, who, me? Yes, you. Yes, you. You think David, a man after God's own heart, would ever think that he would have done the things that he did? And adultery and murder, lying. Hey, listen, let every man take heed lest he fall. Listen, can I tell you something, dear friend? And I say this very kindly to you, church. Don't ever think that you are above falling in to wickedness. I want to tell you, if you're here tonight and you see yourself as a person that would never really partake in the things that we've talked about here, you'd never be a person that could get drunk. You'd be a person that could never commit immorality. If you have that sentiment, I want to tell you, you are on dangerous ground. Because, friend, I want to tell you right now, you are one choice from committing these very sins. And it's something that we need to be sobered about and to realize that we need, as God's children, we too need discernment. We need discipline. And God has given us the ability to have just that. I appreciate what the writer of Hebrews said about this thing of discernment, which Belshazzar did not have. He says, "But strong meat belongeth them to them that are of a full age." He's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about those that are digesting and studying, discerning the Word of God. "Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to what? Discern both good and evil." Now, boy, I tell you, something that burdens me, and I just pray and ask God, Lord, help us with discernment. But I see a serious lack of discernment even in the church. Just trying to discern good and evil, and you know what that is a result of? It is a result of babes in Christ. That's what Paul said in the previous verse there in Hebrews chapter 5. He says, look, you're still on the milk. You're still on the milk. You can't handle the meat of God's Word. And you're lacking some serious discernment. Why do we hear of these Christians that are going into sin and making these choices that we're thinking, oh my. I mean, I can give you names now, but people that are in prison that I used to pray with, and that I used to rejoice with, and people that have just fallen there off to their own lust and were drawn away because of a lack of discernment. Hey, can I just say this tonight, friend, without belaboring the point? When you see Belshazzar, don't dare look at that as a man or an act that you could never commit, because you could. Listen, the old saying, and sorry if I misquote this, but sin will take you further than you want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Every single time. And I want to say here that, you know, as we look to this man, let us learn and realize that even God's children are not above falling into this sort of lifestyle. Now, of course, it would be along with God's chastisement. There's no doubt about that. But the very fact of the matter is, it is possible. And it begins with little seeds of sin, little seeds of doubt, little seeds of bitterness, little seeds of lust and this and that. Hey, I want to tell you, that is the beginning stages. It doesn't take but a little seed. But we see here Belshazzar, his debauchery, and his character of that. But then secondly, it goes even deeper than that. We see his defiance. Look at his defiance here. It's so obvious. It says, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, so that the king and the princesses, his wives and his concubines, might drink therein. So we're going from him just being showing forth debauchery and showing forth his decadence here, and just his lack of discipline and discernment. But now we're going to a straight up man that's being straight up defiant, saying, "Look, not only am I going to do what I want to, but I am going to shake my fist in the face of the God of Israel." That's what he's saying. It's obvious because, remember, the vessels here are from the temple, the holy place, the place of worship, the holiest of holies, where God had chosen to keep these vessels and these things here for himself and for his glory, and were used for holy purposes only. But he would take this to a whole another level, and in his defiance, he desecrated the vessels of the temple and church. That is the height of desecration. He simply was making a statement that he wanted to defy the God of Israel, and that's exactly what he's doing. He brings these vessels in. And the immorality that was taking place, I don't even want to think about. The party that was taking place, and man, these holy vessels from the temple, laughing, carousing, cheering, mocking, the things that were going on, and these holy vessels of God, and this man Belshazzar, and what he was doing. He was defiant against God. He was against the Lord. And I want to say, unless we deceive ourselves, that we too can become defiant against God. And you say, "Well, preacher, you're confusing me a little bit. How can a child of God do this?" Well, you know what the Bible says about your heart, don't you? You know the description of your heart that you still have, even though you have the Holy Spirit. You still have that heart that is desperately wicked. It's deceitful of all things, and desperately wicked. And given in to the temptation of the flesh and the Satan at the right times, and so many times can bring you to a place where even as a child you are defiant against God. Hey, can I ask you something? Is it possible for a child to become defiant against the parent? Oh, yeah. I've been that way towards my parents. I even knew they loved me. But there are times in my life where I've become defiant. I was going to do something purposely to go against them. And my friend, you take great note. You take great warning and great carefulness that you not let yourself, because of a lack of discipline and a lack of discernment, because of wanting to give in to your flesh and your pleasures, that you can become defiant against your God and Savior. To where you come to a place where, God, I don't want your way, and I'm taking my way. You know, Paul dealt with that with the Corinthians, did he not? He said that, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Church, he was talking to Christians, and he was dealing with sexual immorality. They were abusing themselves. They were abusing their bodies. They were desecrating the temple of the Holy Ghost. Same thing that was going on right here. Vessels that were in the temple. Do you see your body tonight, dear friend? Your life as a holy vessel of God. Your temple. I believe that is something that is so necessary to understand, because if you're not careful, you will become defiant against God, because you will look at your temple as yours. And you will look at your temple just like Belshazzar looked at that temple, and he said, God, I will use these things from this temple like I want to. And I will abuse them, and I will shake my fist in your face. And I want to tell you something, young people, adults alike, we have to be careful, because if we come to the place where we say, God, this life is mine, I will look at what I want to look at, I will do what I want to do, I want to tell you, you know what you're doing? You're being defiant in the face of a holy and righteous God. God, help us to realize that it's possible even for us. It's possible for even this preacher that stands before you. And God, help me if I ever get to the place where I think I'm above this sort of thing. It breaks my heart, Brother James, to hear story after story of men of God, men of the book, that are preaching the Word, that are soul winners, that are given in, and you're there in prison right now as I preach this message. Because they lost their discernment. They lost their discipline, their self-control, controlled by the Holy Spirit, and they ended up becoming defiant to even a point where a preacher, pastored a church of over 1,000 people, got to a place where he was taking a teenager from the youth group across a state line so that he could commit immorality with. And that man is in federal prison probably until the end of his life. I want to tell you, how did he get to that point? He lost discernment. He got away from his God, and boy, he lost that discipline. And he saw himself, and this is what's so scary, church. He saw himself as above that. Oh, Holy Ghost, would you teach us that we are not above that? That we are just a breath away from this type of sin, my friend. And God, sober us up to realize that we must stick close to the book, the precious Word of God, to stay yielded to the Holy Ghost. Hey, because listen, you let your lust be channeled in the right directions, you will find yourself overwhelmed with your sinful decisions. Well, I tell you what, oh, God, help us. We see that there was a defiance. The vessels from the temple, the concubines going on in this huge room. They say it's probably about the size of the White House, this huge space, this huge room with all, and you think about 1,000 lords, you think about the wives of those lords and the concubines of those lords, and you're just talking straight up wickedness. Listen, Mardi Gras didn't even hold a light to what was going on in this place at this time. But not only do we see his defiance, but then lastly we see his denial. This man was straight up in denial. Why do you say that? I believe he was under the impression that he was above the judgment of God. Well, why do you say that? Well, it is historically proven and documented what was going on during this time. Like I said before, the Persian army is surrounding this city. They are ready to take it. It just like Jeremiah prophesied. Dear friend, you go to Jeremiah, read chapter 50. There are numerous references to this exact judgment in Jeremiah chapter 50 and Jeremiah chapter 51. And even in Jeremiah chapter 27. And that was 50 years even before this is taking place. Exact judgment that is prophesied from the prophet Jeremiah that this would take place. That the Babylonians would be overtaken. And also the way they were taken was prophesied. They'd lose access to water. And that's what Cyrus did. Without going into detail, it was simply to where they decided where they could redirect the channel that was going into the city, because Nebuchadnezzar had built this city to where they could survive by even for years without having to leave. That's the way he created this thing. So Cyrus, who found a way to cut off the water resource and the access there that they had, and channeled it out where the men, the army, were able to walk through underneath with these channels to where it was only about waist deep, and they entered the city during this party that was going on, this great feast. And they entered in, and judgment came upon them. But before I get ahead of myself, you got to remember, this man was the man in charge. He had to know what was going on. He had to have some sort of idea of the surrounding army that was upon him. But I believe the man was in denial. The man simply said, look, my city, this city that my grandfather built, it's too strong for anybody to penetrate. Nobody can get to me. That attitude of just being in denial and not being in touch with reality. You know, when I did law enforcement in the Coast Guard there in Charleston, we were at a small boat station, and when we were out in the waters all the time boarding vessels. I mean, that's what we did. And mainly it was just let me see your license and registration and your life jackets, da 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 da, and you're on your way. But this was a case, sometimes we got cases like this. We had about four or five teenagers, about the same exact age of these young men up here on the front row. And they were out and they were cutting up and driving recklessly, and so we pulled them over. And they didn't want to stop at first, but finally they did. And then we found, after getting on there and talking to them, we found alcohol on board, and they were underage drinking, and so we started addressing them on that. And one of the guys that was driving the boat, he's probably about 17 years old. I can remember it like it was yesterday. As we were boarding that vessel and talking to him, he said, you really don't know who I am, do you? And I said, no, why don't you tell me? So he went ahead to say that his dad was some sort of important official, political figure in the community, big money, just basically gave them all the anything they wanted. And that he was under the impression that he could get away with anything he wanted to. But during that time, you know, when he's saying, listen, you don't know who I am, and we, of course, addressed it very appropriately and professionally, took him and made his mom and daddy come pick him up because he didn't even have a driver's license. And made them come pick him up. And, of course, we with what we had to do, we stayed there with the boat. But, you know, I forgot about that story because that young man had gotten out of touch with reality. He thought he had come to the place of being above judgment. And I am scared to death, church, when I even see young people and I see adults who have come to the place in their life where they consider themselves untouchable. I can continue like I'm doing and everything's going to be all right. Listen, this is what they say. Listen, I am the exception. People get caught. Yes, they get caught. People get in trouble. Yes, this. But you know what? They say, I'm the exception. You know what that is? They're in denial. And I believe that's what was going on here. He says, listen, this fortified city, the Babylonian army, one of the strongest armies in the world, this professional canal water system, hey, listen, what can go against it? And then, you know what else I believe he thought? And this is even scarier than the first point, than the point I just said. I believe that he came to the point that where he believed God-ordained judgment was silly. Even knowing, and we know he knew because Daniel confronted him with it. We'll get to that later, another day. But Daniel confronted him with, listen, Belshazzar, you knew. You know what happened to your grandfather. You know how God humbled him. You have no excuse. But yet, I believe this man thought that God-ordained judgment was straight up silly. But can I tell you what the Word of God says about that? The Word of God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. He is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, he shall also reap. It is so important, church, for us to realize that let's not play games with God. Let's not look as we see these judgments coming upon other people. Nah, not me. I'm an exception. This man was in denial because he thought he was above. But listen, can you listen to what Colossians chapter 3, verse 25 says? It says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And get this, and there is no respecter of persons. I don't care who you are. God is no respecter of persons. And this man, Belshazzar, he truly was a man that was about to meet his end. He's about to meet his judgment in our text here. But may we, with a holy sobriety and just with a serious mindedness, may we look at this passage and the character of this man and realize, yes, what he did was wicked. But can we realize tonight, can we admit tonight, church, that we are only a breath away, a choice away from being in that same position? Listen, God's going to show up. We're going to see a very interesting message that he brings to Belshazzar, of course, directed toward he and the kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom. And we're going to see that writing on the wall. But tonight, may we just close with this fact, this feast of Belshazzar, what it represented. And to realize the danger of somebody that is in denial. The danger of somebody that is defiant. The danger that we see here of somebody that just wants to be solely centered on self-gratification. Whatever I can do to make me feel good. Whatever I can do to give myself pleasure. That is the center point of a person like this. Everything they do to bring pleasure to themselves. In church, we simply need to say, Lord, please protect me from that. God, help me not to be one that simply does things in life simply what can please me. But may we say with holy reverence, Lord, not what can please me, But Lord, what can I do to please You? Lord Jesus, help me to realize what my temple is. You know, that is a foundational truth for making changes with the way we conduct ourselves. You know, New Year's resolutions, whatever you want to call them, new goals, remember that will help you, the foundation of what your body is. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost, the Creator God. And may the Lord help us in the year to come not to find ourselves giving in to these temptations and to thinking that we're above. It will be scary to find a person, because you can mark it down. I don't care. I guarantee you, if I went, we went and talked to that friend of mine that did spend time in jail and did go because of some serious acts that he committed, even as a youth pastor. What if I were to go to him in the jail place and talk to him through that window and ask him, brother, did you ever see yourself as sitting where you are when we were in Bible college together? You know, church, what his response would be. Probably with tears running down his cheeks, saying, no, I never thought I could be here. Father, let every man, oh God, let us all take heed, lest we too fall. Let us understand, Lord, that even looking at a wicked man like Belshazzar, that there is something for us to learn about this man. To realize what sin can do. Lord, You have no doubt spoken to Your people tonight. And I'm praying that life-changing decisions would be made in this room tonight. From our young people all the way up to our eldest. This first day of this year, Lord God, would You help us to make a decision. To make a decision, Lord, that we will present ourselves as the temples of the Holy Ghost, and that we will seek to make much of Your Word, that we might have discernment and understand, and that we might be able to have discipline, that we might be able to restrain and keep our bodies under subjection. Lord God, that we might be able to know Your will. And Lord, that You might keep us from falling. And I pray, Lord, that those of us, I know all of us have at one time or another fallen and committed things that we did not want to do, but chose to because of our sinful lust. But Lord, I'm praying that if there's anybody here that's right in the center of their lustful desires, Lord, I pray that You would break them free. I pray that You'd give them great grace. And I pray that they would hear the Your heartbeat of mercy and forgiveness. And Lord, tonight that they would commit themselves unto the Most High God and to realize that they don't need to be on a path of destruction, self-destruction. Lord, I just am reminded of Belshazzar and the man didn't even realize that he was celebrating his own funeral. And I pray, God, that even tonight among this dear church, Lord, that if there's somebody here celebrating their own funeral, they don't even realize it, God, would you wake them up? Would You open their eyes that it's not worth it? Would You help them not to be in denial? Help them not to be defiant. God, have mercy upon them, Lord. Oh God, would You help us and draw us nearer to Thee through this message and through the invitation time, for I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you stand with me, church? You respond as God leads.
Hymn number 560, Is Thy Heart Right with God? Hymn 560.
You respond as the Holy Spirit leads.